Okay. We're at the Gemara and Tesla and Alf. Let's quickly recap what we did last time to understand what we're doing today a little bit. Is the Mishnah on Tesla and Aleph and the Mishnah Dav Yud Dal and Aleph kind of run into each other? Very similar. I remind you, the Mishnah Yud Dal and Aleph says Nesachim Benesarim. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to be Nesachim Benesarim, and Rabbi Meir says you're not allowed to be. Nesarim are these big planks. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to use planks for your schach, and Rabbi Meir says you're not allowed to use planks for your schach. That was Yud Dal and Aleph. Tezvav and Aleph says Tikra She'en Lem Aziva. If you have a, again, these boards that do not have a roof on top of it, Rehuda says, he quotes Beis Hillel, that you can just do a mice. Again, it was already a roof for your house. That's why an aleph, it was already a roof for your house. And therefore, to live under there now for your sukkah would be considered a problem with Tassel and Asli. So he quotes Beis Hillel saying, well, you can solve that problem by one of two ways. Either pick up each board, put it back down the end, or take off each board and put kosher schach in the middle. Rabbi Meir says, you can't pick up and put down again because he's worried about there is Tikra, it looks too much like a house. You have to take off every other board and put Shachach in its stead. So based on these two very similar Mishnahs, the Gemara now has the following question. We're now in the middle of Tezvav and Aleph. Says the Gemara, my Kamash Milan, what are we learning over here? If we suggest that Rabbi Meir holds that we said above that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai both agree that Zeres Tikra is an issue, and you cannot pick up and put down boards. You have to take off every other board. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai argue. I would like Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel say, you're allowed, there's no Zeres Tikra, you can pick up the board, put it back down again. That's the case of my Kamash Malan. What do you teach? What's the mission over here teaching me? Rabbi Meir, East Lake Zeres Tikra. Rabbi Yehuda, less like Zeres Tikra. Rabbi Meir would hold, there's a concept called Zeres Tikra, which means you can't live in a home, that in a sukkah that has a board on it, for its welcome in size, because it looks too much like your roof of your house. Rabbi Yehuda would say, there's no such concern. Less legs, there is sicker. Is that you want to tell me in our Mishnah? What do you mean? This is machlokes. This ifligu, they argued about this already one time. That was the Mishnah we just read. Tav yidal and off in the top. Now we learn a Mishnah over there. Misachim b'nisar. Say again? According to everyone. According to whatever size you want to say. Yeah, because either way, there's Zeres Tikra or not. Meaning, either way, the machlokes are going to have is do we hold by the concept of Zeres Tikra at a certain level, at a certain...
Actually, I mean, the
other way around. It should be only according to what? So the Gemara is going to ask, the Gemara here is going to point out, well, see, the Gemara here is going to ask Akasha on the opinion towards the very end of Shmuel. That's what you're pointing out right now, Shmuel. Rob would make sense, because, again, this question is according to Rob, in that, Rob over there said, Rehuda holds, okay. There is no Xeris Tikra Rehuda, maybe there is, and over here again, we're seeing the same discussion. The Gemara is going to ask that point, or same point in a few minutes from now. Right now, it seems like the second machlokas we have, Daf Yudav and Aleph, Daf Tezvav and Aleph right now. We learned a Chadazimah, now we learned a Mishnah, Misachim ben Esarim, Daf Yudav and Aleph. You use boards for your schach, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Meir, Omer, Oser, Meir says that you can't. So this machlokas seems to be a carbon copy of what we had, Daf Yudav and Aleph. So Amr Rabbi Chiyah bar Abba, Amr Yochanan, no, they're different machlokas. Reisha, which means the Mishnah, Daf Yudav and Aleph, the first Mishnah that we had, is not talking about a case of a regular Nesarim and whether you hold Zeres Tikra. It's actually Benesarim Mishupin Askinan. Mishupin means like smooth and prepared boards, meaning a board that's not yet a kli, but it's like a kli in that it's been worked on. It's been made to be usable, and therefore we're worried about Mishum Gzeras Kalim Naguba. We're suggesting the concern of Yudam and Aleph was the concern of Gzeras Kalim. A flat board is not a kli. And therefore, you can be under it. But it looks like a kli. You've been working on it. You've been developing it. And therefore, the concern we have over there, Daf Yudam and Aleph says, Rabbi Chiyah bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, is not about whether or not you do Gzeres Tikra, but can you use schach that looks to be like a kli or not? Rabbi Yehuda would say, you can. Or Meir would say, you can't. Versus 1 second. That seems to fit in. Again, right now, we're trying to do the file one more time. We have a very similar Mishnah, Yudav and Aleph, Tezvav and Aleph. We're trying to say, why do you have to say Mishnah twice? So we're saying there's different Mishnahs. Our Mishnah, Daf Tezvav and Aleph, is all about Gzeres Tikra. The Mishnah of Yudav and Aleph is all about, are we gozer for using schach that looks like a kli? Because we're afraid that it might be confusing when you actually have a kli for your schach. Now the Gemara says that works out very nicely with one main problem. There's an opinion out there, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Marav, the Amar, we saw earlier on, Rehudah Marav says, you're allowed to do schacha b'chitz in zecharim k'shera, b'nekevos psula, lo gazru zuchar matu nekevos. Yehuda Marav said, you're allowed to use for schach the arrow body that is masculine. If you remember what that means, I mean, it's a point at the end. There's no hole. It's a point at the end, and then you put the arrow head on top of it. It doesn't go into it because there's no hollow part. It goes on top of it. You're allowed to use the Zecharim arrow body parts, and you can't use the Nekeva ones, and we're not gozer the masculine ones because of the feminine ones, which means we don't hold like Zeres Kalim. Yehuda Rama has clearly a case that's very confusing. Which arrow body part can you use? The one that is solid, the one that has a hole in it. And he's not gozer the ones that look like the problematic ones. He's not gozer on those. What do you see from over here? That we don't have a concept of Gezeres Kalim. So according to Yehuda Marav, this Mishnah would not be able to be explained the way we explained it. Rav Yehuda says the name of Rav, that there is no concern of Kalim being confused as Zecharim for an Ikeva. Similarly, if you had a smoothed out wooden beam, there would be no concern at all of saying, oh, it looks like a Kli, maybe you shouldn't be able to use it according to Rav Meir. There's no concern like that, Yehuda says the name of Rav. And therefore, Yehuda Marav would not be able to work the way we just explained this Gemara. So this is Rav Yehuda. It's not Rav Yehuda. This is Rav Yehuda.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Rabbi Yehuda
is not Gezer. Sivan suggests over here that this would still work according to one side of the Machlokas. But Rav Yehuda wouldn't want... He seems to make a blanket statement. Meaning he doesn't want to be one side of the Machlokas. He wants to be like everybody. And therefore, if we hold like Rav Yehuda, or Rav Yehuda and Rav would not want the Machlokas to be limited to him being like one position. By the way, the position we don't hold like that. So we hold like Rav Yehuda in the end, not Rav Yehuda. He doesn't want to be like the position that is like... That is like one side of Machlokas. So according to him, the way we explain the Mishnah would not work out well. So what are we going to say instead? Says the Gemara, Hachanami lo nigzor nisar meshupin atu mekelim. And here as well, no one should make a gzera according to Yehuda Amarav. So no one should make, even Rav Meir shouldn't make a gzera of nisar meshupin, of smoothed out boards atu kelim because of it looks very much like a kli. Ella, rather, the Gemara here has a noob shot. Ella, we're going to go back to what we said above. El al korchach reisha pligi b'tikzer sikra v'sevet pligi b'tikzer sikra. The reisha of Yudav and Aleph Mishnah has machlokas regarding gzer sikra, and our Mishnah of Tetzav and Aleph has the same exact machlokas of gzer sikra. We have two seemingly piggybacking machlokasim that seem to be repetitive as well. Yudav and Aleph, Rav Meir versus Rav Yehuda, we hold like gzer sikra, and once again Tetzav and Aleph, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda as well, we hold like gzer sikra. Why does it say machlokas twice? Says the Gemara, "Vafligi b'tarti zimni lamali." Why would we have machlokas Mishnah and the same machlokas in the next Mishnah? Says the Gemara, it works as follows. I was actually just now. I went to we had a shiur in the yeshiva yesterday. Rav David Foreman. Ever heard of David Foreman before?
Yes.
He works for Aish. He has these unbelievable. Yes.
Yeah,
he gets these very fascinating. It's fascinating. If you ever never seen it before, I recommend highly to look at it. Not everyone in the yeshiva liked it, but I was fascinated by it. He basically takes all Chazal out of a sugya, out of a chumash, and he looks at it like innocently from the first time, and he rereads it. He rereads what it means, and he tries to have drushas based upon it. It's a little controversial in that he doesn't discuss, like he doesn't adopt Chazal's positions on the chumash. He kind of looks at it from a new angle, but he has some wild ideas that are very creative and it's very entertaining. So he spoke in the shiur yesterday about a very fascinating shot about Megillas Esther. He read it over in a very unique way, and it told a whole story that's not really found in the Megillah, at least not that we see it in the second Megillah when it's explained what the Megillah really is. So that's why some Rebbeim weren't so into it. He's not making it up. He's really a different angle. It's like giving a drush on a gematria. It's a different angle. It's not using Chazal. It's just using the text. Using the text. Rabbi David was not a fan. He was not a fan. But I thought it was fascinating. This she was very split on it. But it was certainly creative. But that's what happens in our Gemara now. This our Gemara is a story. Duff Yudal and Alav, that's not a story. It's a story. We didn't read it yet, but I'll read now. It's a story. Look at how it works in the Gemara. The Gemara says, the Reisha, we had Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Meir. Then in the Seifa, is a continuation of that same story. Seifa Rabbi Yehuda, the Ka'amal Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says Rabbi Meir, really? Amai Ka'asarta bin Nisarim. Why are you saying that Nisarim, you can't use these beams? Mishum gzeres tikra. Because you hold gzeres tikra. Hai svar lebe shamai hu de islahu. The svar you have means that you're siding with beis shamai against beis hillel. who Beis Hillel lo gazri, but Beis Hillel wouldn't be gozer the same way that I'm not gozer. To which Rabbi Meir responds, are we holding Beis Hillel? It's not one of the six. We're holding Beis Hillel. But I'm a Rabbi Meir. Meir says back to him, no. They don't argue in this face. What it seems to be for us is the same machlokas twice. I'm machlokas. It's a continuation of the conversation. Yidalman Alf was the original discussion they had. So Yidalman Alf was the continuation. Rabbi Huda's response to Rabbi Meir's opinion and his attempt to reject Rabbi Meir's opinion. And we have again, like Rabbi Forman, you have a story built. It's not Mishnah and then separate Mishnah. It's Mishnah, and then the story about that Mishnah is found in the next Mishnah. Rabbi Huda says, statement A, Rabbi Meir argues. Rabbi Huda says back to Rabbi Meir, Tezer Alf, you argue on me? You side with Beis Shammai? Rabbi Meir says back to him, I don't have Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai both say what I'm saying. And that's the way the Gemara is to be understood. And that's how this position, this sugya, really ends. Now back to what Tzvi said a minute ago. This whole machlokia, says the Gemara right now, it's a new piece a little bit. Hanichal Rabbi Rav. It all works well according to Rav. This explaining the Gemara right now. Davar machlokas b'sheish ben arba, and who holds Yudal and Aleph? The machlokas we had about how big a beam can be is whether or not you can use a beam that's over four tzvachim or not, because we know a tikra by us, says Rashi, a stam tikra is four tzvachim. The machlokas to say that the same discussion happening as Yudal and Aleph and Tezvav and Aleph would only make sense according to Rav, because he holds b'sheish ben arba machlokas. Rabbi Meir. Isleg Zeres Sikra. Rabbi Meir would say over four Zeres Sikra. Rabbi Huda would say no such problem, less like Zeres Sikra. And therefore, our machlokas Tezvav and Aleph is the exact same discussion, a continuation of the conversation. But El Shmuel the Amar B'Shei Ben Arba Machlokas. But Shmuel holds that when there's not four, there's a machlokas. Between three and four, Tzvachim is a machlokas. Over four, everyone says the problem. Under three, everyone says it's fine. Between three and four, the mayor says it's a problem. Rabbi Huda says it's fine until you hit four. 1 second. That means pasula. But according to Shmuel, everyone agrees when you hit four tzvachim, you're in trouble. It's puzzle. How big is the tikra? Four tzvachim. In our mission, it's four tzvachim. How can Rabbi Yehuda be makil? Each beam is schach. The tikra. Tikra is four tzvachim. According to Shmuel, everyone agrees over four tzvachim is a problem. So how come in our Mishnah, the Tzav Alam from Yehuda, in the Beis Hillel, allows for four tzvachim to pick up or put down? You can use that tzvach. You can use a beam that's four tzvachim in size. What happens to Xerah's Tikra, according to Yehuda, Lefi Shita Shmuel?
In the Seifa.
In the Seifa. I'll say one more time. Because the part, if you missed whatever you had before, it's fine. It's okay, no, this part is independent. I'll say it one more time. If we get it, we'll go on by turn. One more time. We explain the Taf Yudal and Aleph, Yudal and Meir of Machlokas. Can you use Nisarim that are a certain size? What's the size? Machlokas. According to Shmuel, the size that everyone agrees you cannot use is four tzvachim. Why? Because he calls that Gzeras Tikra. In our Mishnah, we have a Tikra. You couldn't get more Gzeras Tikra than a Tikra itself, which means you have a four tefach piece of wood. And Rabbi Yehuda is quoted as saying that Beis Hillel allows you to pick it up and place it back down again. Tasa, you made the sukkah by putting down the schach, four tzvachim, putting back down the shame schach. What happened to a big four tzvachim in size? According to Shmuel, everyone agrees. Rabbi Yehuda also agrees. Four tzvachim is problematic. So we'll go with it later on. We'll figure it later on. We're almost done this part, then we'll get to the next Mishnah. Says the Gemara, again, Hanilcha Rav Damar Machlokas V'Sheish Ben Arba. Rabbi Meir, East Lake Zer Sikra, Yehuda, Less Lake Zer Sikra. El Shmuel, the Amr B'Shein Ben Arba Machlokas. V'Yesh Ben Arba Divrei HaKol Psula. Seifa B'Maya Pligi. What in the world is Machlokas in the Seifa? Why is everyone not on the same page over here? Everyone should say it's possible. Says the Gemara, but be too late Tikra Pligi. Machlokas is about be too late Tikra. Something is a Tikra. Can I take away its Tikra status, thus erasing Gezerah's Tikra? What does that mean? Mar Savra Batla, Mar Vahi, Mar Savra Batla. One master says, Rabbi Yehuda would say, you can do away, you're able to get rid of the Gezerah's Tikra with what we just did. I'll say what it means in a minute. And the other master says, you cannot do away the Gezerah's Tikra with what you just did. Let's explain what that means. According to everybody, if I would take a four tefach beam and place it down for schach, it's not kosher. Within Shmuel. It's not kosher. Even here, it's not kosher. If I place it down for the first place, for Shem Tzach, Gzeres Tikra. However, he says, the moment that you understand that Tikra is a problem, but you pick it up and put it back down again to quote unquote erase the problem, to show that you know there's a concept called Tasa below Mina Asui. What does Gzeres Tikra mean? What's my fear? What's my fear?
Next year, you'll end up being in a wooden house.
Good. I'm going to go back to my house as a very similar roof and live there. Well, if I'm demonstrating that I'm familiar with a concept called Tasev Loman Asli, I can't stop live in a roof. I must pick up and put that down again. Then I'm showing you that you don't have to worry about every sticker by me. I understand what the concern is. I picked it up. I made a maaseh to show I'm doing it now. Dafka l'shem schach. I'm taking off my roof, putting it back down again. That I do l'shem schach. And therefore, you now know that I'm not worried. Don't worry about me back there, Sikra. I'm not going to live in my house later on. I'm showing you that I understand the rules properly. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that guy, no problem with that guy. He can live, Rabbi Yehuda would say. Even though he normally, according to Shmuel even, he normally holds, you cannot use a four tefach beam normally. You can't. Why? Gzeres Sikra. But the moment that you show that you understand the concept and concerns that are had, how do you show that? Not by using it in the first place. That would be a problem. But when it's already there, by picking it up and putting it back down again. So you're erasing the issue, you're making a tasev lom na asui, that I'm not going to live next year in my already asui house. Because I've shown that I know tasev lom na asui. Means I'm erasing, because I understand the concern that you had, that I would live there next year. By picking up my wood and putting it back down again in the fourth out of beam, it shows you that I know what I'm doing. You can trust in me not to worry about next year. Behuda would say, according to Shmuel, that's sufficient. No Xerish Sikra in that case. Again, you still cannot put down for the first time a four tefach beam. But picking it up and putting it down again shows that you're at a different place, that you understand not to do that. And therefore, says Behuda, no Xerish Sikra for you. However, according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir within Shmuel, no. It's a four tefach beam. I have that fear all the time. Picking up and putting down is not going to solve any problems at all. You must remove one piece and put kosher schach on it instead. That's how to explain the Gemara between Rabbi Meir and Yehuda over here. As a continuation of the Gemara we had, Daf Yudalman Aleph, even though Shmuel would have a hard time with that, originally looks that way at least, we explained that even Shmuel, who holds by Gzeres Tikra for everybody, would tell you that above four it's welcome. If I'm familiar with the rule and I'm makbid on the concept called Tasev Lo Mina Asui, then you can trust in me not to confuse regarding Gzeres Tikra as well. And that will solve the problem. New Mishnah. Yeah. Great question. Excellent. Clearly, according to the opinion of the Gemara, it's for the Baal Bais. Clearly. You're absolutely right. The concern we had all along was this question. Who is Gzeres Tikra for? The guy living there or a guy visiting or seeing someone else living there? Clearly, according to our Gemara, it only makes sense if you hold excellent point, it's the guy living there. Because everyone else hasn't seen him do that. You're absolutely correct. Yeah.
I always thought that when Chazal make a Gezerah, they don't look at the individual who happens to be in the know. They say, you know what? We've got millions of Yidden, and we're looking forward thousands of years into the future, and we have to make a Gezerah, because most people are a good chunk of the Jewish community are gonna mess up on this.
So I'll give you some examples. Or we'll have a gezerah, but you can do a certain mindset to allow the gezerah to not apply to you. Erev Tavshilin. Make an Erev Tavshilin. You're a Mataki, and if they do Erev Tavshilin, something you usually can't do, it allows you now, it's where you can do something now because I did a mindset that now permits me to continue cooking later on. Or,
you're saying that picking up the stock and putting it down again with a kavana, that this is the shame.
That's why you're doing it. That's why you're doing it.
Is going to be mevatel the whole problem.
For you.
Gezerah Tikra.
For you. For you.
You can see how it works. Because the reason the Gezerah came in is that you cut. In the old days, the houses were made out of wood. So you're making you're doing an act which makes that you know that you're effectively loopholing the Gezerah Tikra by actually doing an action. So it kind of makes sense. because if it's about you not living in your hut, then by doing something, you're going to remember. So it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, another example. Another example. There's a rule. You're not supposed to have, let's say, almond milk. Let's say you have a fleishik meal. Can I have almond milk at my table? Soy milk at my table. So halacha is brought down. If you put almond shells on your table, you can have almond milk at your table as well. I mean, you have to do some mitzvah that shows that you're doing something now that you know this is not the problematic thing. I'm trying to demonstrate to you that I'm aware of the fact that this is a concern normally, but if I do a certain mitzvah, I remove myself from those concerns, you can join me at my table as well. So here what we're suggesting is, again, if I would put, let's say I make my tzach in the first place, I put down 4 tefach piece of wood, the same tzach, it's not allowed. Gzeirat sukkah is not allowed. It's only when I pick it up and put it back down again, the shame ta'as sevelo min asui. That's my concern I have. I'm going to live under a hut that was made already that I didn't make. If I demonstrate that I know the rule and I pick up and put it down again, that's allowed. But if I put it down, the chachila, the shame schach, not allowed. Shmuel would say, you're not allowed to do it in that case. It's only when you've shown yourself to be aware of ta'as min asui rules.
I know the example here was a tikkun, but if it was any plank of wood bigger than 4 amas.
Same story. Four tefachim. Yeah.
So say it was one big plank of wood.
Yeah. Okay. That's a minor piece of my clothes I had a long time ago. I'm still sticking strong. I still think I'm right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know you mentioned this about exactly, but let's just say you pick, you've got your, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could have it in Rav, you can have one huge plank of wood.
4 amas even. 10 amas.
So imagine that in this case now, under Shmuel. You're saying you can actually live in your house as long as you just lift the roof.
According to Shmuel, correct. Why not? Why not? What's my concern? It's kosher schach. What's my concern?
That you might live in your house.
But now, I'm picking up and making a kosher schach in my house. So I'm never. If I know the rules so well that I'm makbid to be tassel and usli, then what's my fear? I clearly am not confused with my house. I have to pick up my house and put it back down again to show that I know what I'm doing right now. I'm not going to forget about it if I did that. I'm not going to forget. I didn't stop put schach in my house like my house. I picked up my house again to show you that I know the rule about that already. So that shows I know what I'm talking about. And therefore, you're right. It's like there's a secret that I can overdo, I can overcome in certain scenarios. Okay. Next mission, new mission. If you haven't got the computer a little bit right now, we're talking new mission right now. And we'll go to the next part of the Gemara. It's very, 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 very short. So the part we're going to stop at, on top next page. According to this video here, what makra means is not you put tzchach on, but you put like the support for tzchach. I don't know what you did when you were younger, but what I did when I was younger is we would put like a fat wooden beam, and you put it spaced out. And you roll your schach on top of those beams. You roll your schach on top, so therefore those beams on the bottom are holding up the schach, and your schach is on top of that. So if you use for that shiputin, which are these metal rods, or baruchos amitza, or some other type of portion of your bed, like the leg of your bed, or some other area that would be, in theory, a kli, im yesh revach beinehen kimosan, if I have given enough space to put other schach on top of it, around it, that is equal in size to it itself. Meaning, if I have equal amount of bad schach to good schach, sounds good over here. Kshera, that would be good. We then say, just to end off over here, we end off and we say, in case we talked about earlier on, hachote bigadish la soslo sukkah eina sukkah. If I dig out a heap of straw to make a sukkah, and I leave the roof as is, and I've hollowed it out, that's not a sukkah. Why is the line of Ein Sukkah important to us? Why did that show Ein Sukkah when that show was last time we saw this, remember? Good. As opposed to Gzeiras Tikra. It was Tassel Asur. Ein Sukkah means Midaraisa is not a good sukkah. Tassel Asur, it's not a good sukkah at all. Fine. Could. Then you're fine. You'd be fine. Exactly. Says the Gemara, Leima Tehavi Tiyufta Deravun Braid Rav Yeshua. Let's suggest that the Tanakh, the first bit, yeah.
I didn't understand the Mishnah.
Here's a case. I put down beams of pasul schach, metal or like a kli, like part of a bed. I put it down. That's a metal spit, like a metal, like a rod. Okay. And then the aruchos amita is like a part of a bed that we had like a leg of a bed or some other like frame of a bed, which is really a kli, and therefore would be a problem. And then what I do is I put enough schach, the same equivalent amount of schach, on top of that, Is it in the back here or no?
There was a
picture. Yeah, look over. Yeah, Rucha Mita. If you look over here.
Rucha is staying
right. Yeah, it's a part of a bed. It's like a bed frame. Part of a bed frame, exactly. It's part of a bed frame. So it has a function. It has a, it serves a purpose. So if I use that as part of my like support for my schach, put a schach on top of that, but I put the same amount of schach as that, so we say it's kosher. I mean, that's a problematic thing to use. That's like a kli. You can't use a kli, mekabel tumah. Sometimes mekabel tumah you can't use. Even if it's wooden, if it's a mekabel tumah, you can't use it. So therefore, it's mekabel tumah because it acts as a bed frame, which is a kli. And therefore, if I have the same amount of schach as that, I have that exact amount equal to also having kosher schach there, we say it's not allowed because you... Oh, sorry, it is allowed. It's allowed. It's kosher because you have a amount of kosher schach as you have a amount of not kosher schach as well.
What's the difference between what we do today? We put these sticks...
Those are not kalim. It's called truth of eights, plutically eights. It's just a flat beam. It's no, it doesn't serve any purpose besides acting as schach.
It's schach.
Correct.
You could have a beam the whole way, wooden beams, and that could be a schach.
But I couldn't put like wooden bowls up there. Couldn't do that. It's a kli. This is a kli. It serves as a function as a bed frame. It's a kli. And obviously, so metal is different, even though it's wooden.
The fact that it's a broken up bed.
It's not because the Gemara will ask. The Gemara will ask to what purpose does this have to make it a kli still? We'll ask that question. Says the Gemara. Let's suggest that our Mishnah, the Reisha, acts as a tiyufta, as a rejection of Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua. What did he say? The Ambar, Didmar, it was stated, Paritz Komed. If I have the equal amount of space, openness, Paritz Komed, like I have physical mass. Over here, Rashi points out over here, it refers to Mechitza Shabbos. You have equal amounts of physical things, equal amounts of airspace. Equal. Assuming it's all more than 3 tefachim apart, otherwise you have lavud. So you have more than 3 tefachim apart, you have a thing of 3.5 tefach in space, 3.5 tefach break. Space, break. Space, break. Material, space. Material, space. But it's no lavud, and they're equal amounts altogether. So what's halacha? So Rav Papa says mutter, that works with our Mishnah. You have equal amounts, and it's fine. It counts. But Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua says usser. That sounds like right now that if you need to have more, you can't have equal amount of good and bad. You have to have more good than bad. So why in our sukkah, if you have the same amount of good and bad, according to Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, why should that be allowed? We've shown in the world of Shabbos, when you have to have a mechitza, it's got to be more good than not good. So over here in sukkah as well, assuming that the same rule applies to create a halachic reality, has to have more good halachic reality than bad halachic reality, more good schach than bad schach, then how can 50-50 work? Hamachar Rav Huna, Breid Rav Yeshua, my kimos. So what does it mean we say like that amount, like them? B'nichnas v'yotzei. It means you can take it, you can put it out, which means it's a little space. I mean, it's like 3.5 of bad, or actually 3.5. Let's say it's like 2.5 of bad schach, then it's like 2.75 of good schach. It's nichnas, which means you have enough, the same exact amount. It's not going to squeeze right in that hole. You have room to put it down in. It's not exactly the exact amount of each one versus the other one. It's not like you have one tefach of bad, one tefach of good. It's like one tefach of bad, and a little space between the two next beam and that one. And then you have next to that a tefach plus of good. So in the end, if you do the math, it's going to work out to more than 50% of good. Because it means it's easy. Rashi explains over here. It's easy to take off and put in because you're not squeezing it exactly into the exact amount of space. You have the revach. A little extra. That's why it's kosher. That's why it's kosher. It doesn't work. Right. And 50-50 arbitrage also wouldn't work either. But it's 51-49. 50.1 to 49.9. It's a little more good than bad, and that's why it works.
I'm totally lost.
I'll help you go through the chazar together. Well, then I'll go quick right now to the next part, and then I'll sit with you for 5 minutes and go through. Where's over here? 1 second. It's nice that you said that, but by Eshel it's the same. The bottom line is that's not a great answer because in theory, it is possible that I could have made it. Again, the Mishnah sounded like you dafka made it 50-50. And it's Efshar. It's possible to have limited the space to the exact same amount as the bad schach and the good schach. That's what the Mishnah sounded like. So why would you tell me that it would be good if it's 50-50? So I'm Rabbi Ami b'madif. Rabbi Ami b'madif means the following thing. It means that you... That it's true you could, but in this case we didn't. Madif means we had, madif means more. There was more odif, it was changed, there was that and then some. Meaning you're right, it would not be allowed if you had 50-50. It would not be allowed. It's only because the space of the air where you filled in happened to be more schach than non-good schach. But you're correct. If you made exactly the exact amount of good and bad schach, it would not count at all. It wouldn't count.
It's mashma that it is 50-50.
Right. And so it's mashma that way. And we say, the Mishnah didn't mean to include that case. The Mishnah, you're right, if you could, in theory, you could have made it that way, but the Mishnah didn't mean, that's not what the Mishnah meant. The Mishnah meant, kimosan, it was like that amount, but a little bit less, and you put a little more kosher schach on. But you're correct, if I would have exactly made it 50-50, it would not be kosher. If I had two tefach bad spot, two tefach break, bad break, it would not count.
We discussed this, what did Rabbi Ami know that Rav Huna didn't know? Like, that the Gemara thought that Rav Huna didn't know.
Meaning, why originally did we say, he asked the Kasha, and he says, Nichas v'yotze, we say, what do you mean? You can be v'tzam same it? Look at Rashi.
The Gemara saying madiv, which is means
no, v'yotze. Right? Correct. Look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. Rashi, I think, asked a question. The first Rashi on the page. The one who said, whenever we say like it, it means like it plus a little bit of extra space. That's what it meant, like it. It's not the way of a person to measure every single. But the Gemara asked, but you could, couldn't you? And therefore, you can make it exactly the way. So he says, that's not what, that wasn't the case. You're right. If you did that, there would be a problem. That's not the case. But the second shot is, it is the case. It says over here, Rav Amar Filu Tema B'Shein Ma'adiv. Even if I have exactly two tefach bad, two tefach good. Bad, good, bad, good. Meaning, I make a space of two that's bad, and a space to fill in of two that's good. Even then, it would be okay. How? He says, well, you know, since Shti, no sin Erev. Erev, no sin Shti. She and Erev means horizontal and vertical. That's all I would call it. It's like this and like this. If I would give a space of two tefachim, I have two tefachim worth of, you know, over here, two tefach worth of bad, then space. Bad, space. For me to put schach on the area where there's a space, I can't, I'm not going to line it over here like this. I'm going to line it like this. This is shti, let's say. This is Erev. I put now schach from here to here. Here to here. I line schach up on each of the bad beams, resting on one beam, to get to the other beam, which means by definition that there's more kosher schach than bad schach. Because I'm not only am I in the space, but I'm in each side of the bad spot also. I'm overlapping the bad spot as well. Which means, again, I'm not only filling up the airspace, but I'm putting a little bit of good schach on top of the bad one here, top of the bad one here as well. So I'm able to, if you do the math of how much good and bad schach I have more good schach than bad schach. Bittable rove. And therefore, even if I left the space the exact amount of bad and good together, I left a space like that, but the schach I'll put on shti or air, depending on how the first one's put on, and therefore, by definition, you'll have more good schach than bad schach together, and that's how I understand the Gemara. We'll stop over here. Those of you who can do chazar now will do it, otherwise, you can do it later on.